first podcast for BigFoamyHead.com, Good Brews and Barbecues. Welcome to the show with Jimmy D. Lane and Double Trouble.
Well, I'm tired of this moonlight around my head. Well, I'm tired of these feelings make me wish I was dead. Sometimes these kind of demons start to go insane. Sometimes this kind of living, but I'm to blame.
First podcast, despite the fact that I've been recording show number 2 and show number 3 prior to this, but it looks like this is my one opportunity to do one start to finish without having to wait days. So the website is BigFoamyHead.com, and the point of the website is about two things that I like quite a bit, and that's beer and barbecue. And I like all kinds of beers. I do not particularly drink fizzy yellow beer, but I'll never turn one down. And I'm over here in the backyard of Palatial Hagerbomber Manor, out by the pool, where Rick is brewing up a big old batch of Hefeweizen.
Hefeweizen.
Excuse me, I'm using the affected pronunciation there.
I'm sure you're using the correct one.
I have no idea, but regardless of how I say it, it's going to sound funny coming out of my mouth.
Very American German version of it. Anyway, Hefe is yeast, and Weizen is wheat.
Ah.
So we have a yeast-like wheat beer. And the Germans, in their clever naming schemes, combine the two, and that's the name of the beer.
So it's a yeast Weizen. Wheat. All right.
And it's going to be cloudy, and should have banana and clove flavors to it. And it's going to be a little bit tart.
That's the esters.
Yes.
Right. That is. Yeah. I had a Hefeweizen earlier today from one of my French Canadian breweries that I like. It's called Don de Dieu. And it was a just stout alcohol wise, but I didn't know it when I was drinking it. But the one thing I noticed was it didn't have that banana and clove like you usually get with a wheat beer, and I wouldn't say that I missed it necessarily. It was just a little different. I think the alcohol, but I got a lot more ester at the end of it, so it was pretty tart.
Well, so I was surprised to see at Costco that they had a Sam Adams sampler pack of summer brews.
Yeah.
And one of the six packs in the case was a Hefeweizen.
Is that Golden Grains or something like that?
Yeah. Well,
or somebody has that. Man, that might be Pete's or something. Yeah, this is about the time of year, though, that Hefeweizen is just great. And I had some homebrew Hefeweizen. I think you had some at that neighborhood thing we had. But it came out real good. It's kind of hard to make a bad Hefeweizen. So the other thing we're going to try today, well, we're not going to get to try Rick's beer for a while because he's cooking it. We're going to just talk about it. But I brought over some Chimay's, and Rick's checking the watch because he's got to add, he's been cooking 40 minutes, coming up on 45, and he's got to throw some hops in. Flavoring hops. And then that's how long they...
So those go into the brew pot 15 minutes before the end of the boil.
Okay.
So for fresh hop flavor.
Okay.
The kit that I bought was from Homebrew Heaven. It's called Wizard's Wheat. And I actually recommend these guys. You can find them on the web. I bought quite a bit of equipment from online, and it all showed up yesterday. So,
so like Christmas.
Check them out, Homebrew Heaven.
Homebrew Heaven. All right,
and they're out of Oregon.
Good. That's where a lot of good beer comes from too. Well, so the other thing we're going to do is we've got some purchased beer, and I brought over the Chimay's. And if you go to the store, liquor store, grocery store, depending on where you're at. You'll find three types of Chimay's, a red, a blue, and a yellow label one. And what we've done is we've kind of lined them up in order of alcoholic strength and also fermentation level. Each beer is different, unique, and we're going to sample them and give you our opinion of them. And we're also going to talk about some barbecue and cooking because this is coming up on the 4th of July. And you're going to hear that theme throughout the first three shows because all this is occurring over a four-day period. So I'm looking at the Chimay website, chimay.com, and we're talking about the beer. You know, I don't know how many people in the world have had the beers and not known exactly what kind it is, but I'm going to count me among them. I just know they're really good. The red is 7%. Alcohol by volume, and it says that it's got a creamy head, a light fruity apricot aroma. I've had, I think the red is probably my favorite of the three. It's fairly light despite the high alcohol, and it's a real clean finish. So what we're going to do, I've got my special magical glasses here that we're going to pop a Chimay. And I'm letting Rick use
these. They even say Chimay on them.
Yeah,
one of them does.
Yeah, the other one came from Dollar Tree. So, but it's not quite as classy. So we're going to let Rick have the Chimay glass. And this is like what I think is characteristic of Belgian ales. It's real fine bubbles. And nice head.
It's got a nice head and a nice dark red color.
Yeah.
It's clear.
Mm-hmm. Well, probably a little bit of sediment. It says in there, this is the mark of a craft beer to me, is it's not pasteurized. So
I'm sure it's well-aged.
Mm-hmm. It smells good. It does have a little bit of, you can smell a little bit of the dry hop.
It's very hoppy.
You know,
strong hoppy flavor.
You think that's hoppy?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
or maybe I'm just smelling these flavoring hops.
Well, you know, and that's the thing about different people drinking beer. One man's hops is another man's light beer. This says it's a top fermented. So it's typical classical ale fermentation. And that's a tasty beer.
It's delicious.
I went down to my local tavern. I was feeling kind of nervous and hairy. Started drinking, thinking about the good times I had back before I got married. Well, simultaneous to these reveries, in walks this lady with legs up to here. Sits down at the bar stool next to mine, says, "Buy me a beer." And I said, "Hey, baby, if I was single, I'd take you home, treat you right. Wouldn't get no sleep for the whole damn night. I'd get up in the morning with a smile this wide, and I'd be sitting there on the bed all swollen up with pride, but I'm a married job, took my place on the line. Boss walks up to me and says, "Work twice as fast, you're out the door, I ain't lying." I said, "Mr. Boss Man, you know, for 2 cents I'd quit." He said, "You're gonna need that 2 cents, son, for your wife and your kid." I said, "Hey, ma'am, if I was single, you know, I'd walk out that door, I wouldn't look back. I'd spend all day just asleep in the rack. Get up in time to go out and play, and I'd have four or five lovely ladies just paying my way. But I'm a married man. Hey, I'm a married man. I used to do all those things, Lord, I think I still can. Some problems with this relationship, the biggest one being me. She sees better looking guys making more money profiling on her TV. Last night she had the nerve just to call me a fool. She said if they had classes for lovemaking, darling, you must have quit school. And she said, "Hey, man, if she was single, she'd throw me out, wouldn't let me back in. She'd walk over to the liquor cabinet, get out that special occasion bottle of gin, and when that sucker was empty, man, she'd be gone too. And then she'd find herself a real man that knew what to do. But she's married to a married man, and I'm that married man. I used to do all those things,
Vernon Clark and the Rhythm Sharks.
That was the red, and it's real good. I can drink way too many of these.
Perez Trappistus.
Yeah, I think it pairs Trappist. That's the father monks, or Trappist fathers. That's from the abbey. So, and I do know that there's only like three officially sanctioned abbeys that brew Belgian ale.
It says it was brewed at Scarmount Abbey and bottled by Bières de Chimay.
Yep.
In Belgium.
And Chimay is one of the older ones. There is a large one. We're trying not to blow listeners' ears off by banging our bottles down. But this is good. It's good. I'm enjoying this. So you said you did or did not get your new grill? You were talking about a grill, but you backed. You got your gas grill, that's right. You were looking at a different one, and now you went with a gas smoker.
I was looking at a very large square smoker with coal offset.
Yeah.
So it's indirect heat.
Indirect heat. Mm-hmm.
And then the wife disagreed with that, so.
Because it was huge.
We both agreed that a built-in system would be better.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do is take this $99 gas grill that I bought at Walmart and build it up with bricks. So yeah. I'm going to build a grill or a smoker and have the good thermal characteristic of brick.
Yeah.
And also have a nice fire pit on the side and grill and perhaps a pizza bake oven, firewood bake oven.
Oh, that'd be good, yeah.
For pizza crust. So it'll be The left-hand side is going to be a combination fire pit, barbecue pit, and the right-hand side is going to be a stack smoker.
Well, now, I have the same model, except it's about 2 years, 2.5 years older, and doesn't have gas. And I can tell you, it's a good grill for smoking. What I've noticed in mine, now, since you've got gas, you'll be able to control the heat better. It's not indirect, which is kind of a plus, because the indirect ones, you've got to turn meat more often, as it turns out. And if you're smoking for a while, you go, and I'm basing this on what I read, not on my experience, but I do know that in the large cookers where they're all offset, they rotate the meat constantly. If you're cooking ribs,
right, they would have a motorized system that's turning.
Exactly. But with the ones like you've got,
the Boston Butts, or whatever you're cooking.
Yeah, exactly. Any of it. But I cooked today on my non-gas one. I got my fires up, and it held perfectly, 225 degrees. Stayed that way for 6 hours, and I put a couple
of... Which is about as long as you want to do ribs, right? 6 to 7 is what I heard.
Yeah, depending on how many you got and the type of rib and stuff. I tell you, they came out great. And these are riblets. These are like little thin deals. They weren't as meaty as the ones I'm going to cook that I've got ready or getting ready. So, you know, I think that for backyard, I would probably, if somebody asked me, would I go with indirect or direct, I think you got the right one. Because you can control the heat a little better. You don't have to fuss with it as much. I know that you got a bigger cooking area.
Yeah.
Or horizontally. But what I did with mine, because you got three racks, right? Typically, they come like three racks.
Three.
Well, what I did at Home Depot, they sell this steel
expanded
mesh.
Steel.
Yeah, exactly. Expanded steel. I made extra racks. And the other thing I did, you've got a, you got the fire pan or a water pan.
I have a water pan, right.
Okay.
And I have a little wood box for the
For
wood
the smoke
chips.
Yeah. Well, what happened with mine was the water pan, it sits very close to the fire. And all the fat renders real nicely and drops down in there. And before you know it, you've got this petrified junk on the bottom. And that happened to me after about 4 or 5 cookings because, I was busy cooking all day and drinking my beer. And then I'd forget about it, and I'd come out and stuff was petrified. So what I ended up doing, because it kept burning out, too.
The
water
very
would,
nice. Yeah,
yeah.
It's very smooth.
Very good. I ended up burning up all of my pans. I bought a second pan and burned it up. So what I ended up doing was I got one of those expanded steel racks, and where the water pan lip was, where I slid it in, I put a rack there, and I put the water pan on top. So now it's 4 inches higher.
Higher, right.
And I went to Walmart again, where all grill supplies are found, apparently, and bought a stainless steel mixing bowl. $5. And I used that. Yeah. And I've been using that and having just wonderful results. It doesn't burn out. The water doesn't evaporate at all. 6 hours, I had put 3 inches of water in. I had 2.5. It was making moist heat, and it was catching the fat and rendering, and none of it was
steam. So you were boiling up too much water.
I was boiling way too much because of the default configuration. Okay. Now, that's on a charcoal one. On yours, you've got a little more control. When you put it on 225, it's going to stay there.
Stay at 225. Yeah, it's kind of the lazy man's way. I don't have to tend coals. They're going to be purists who are going to say that you don't get that nice coal flavor.
Yeah, but
I think that the flavor comes from the wood.
But you're going to get the smoke. That's what I was going to say. You're going to get the smoke flavor. And, you know, when you cook, I'm pretty sure you want your barbecue to taste like chips.
And I understand it gets the flavor in the first hour of smoking or so.
Yeah, that's where you get the ring. And there's all kinds of school. I was reading some recipes, and the guy saying, you need to keep the smoke on it 6 hours. And I'm like, my God, 6 hours? That's going to taste like eating a wood chip. And, you know, of course, it depends on what kind of wood you're using. I like hickory. I know a lot of people use applewood and others.
My wort is boiling away quite nicely. It's got a nice slow boil going.
Now, are you going to have to watch your, and we probably are using these beer terms, the wort is the beer that you are cooking before it's had any yeast, before it's
anything. Once you put the yeast in, starts to ferment, then it becomes a beer.
Yeah.
Prior to that, it's a wort.
It's a wort. W-O-R-T, right?
And the water prior to putting any of the malts or grains in it is called liquor.
Yeah.
So the pure water is a liquor.
Oh, okay.
That's sort of interesting.
So when you're cooking this and adding your hops, and I think I asked you earlier about that, about the breaks. You're not a hop break, or a hot break and a cold break is when you, after adding hops, sometimes it just boils over like crazy.
Yeah. This time I didn't have any. This time I am, I used to cook with smaller batches of the liquor, the 2 gallons of water or so. The Homebrew Heaven is recommending that you brew an entire 6 gallons of water. Most of that will boil off. Your goal is to have 5 gallons to fill up your glass of carboy, which is the secondary fermenter.
Right.
If you don't have enough, then you're going to have to fill that with water, because you don't want too much air space in your glass carboy. Anyway, the ultimate goal is to have 5 gallons when you're done. Yeah. So I started boiling 6 gallons, and I've got the whole 6 gallons.
Yeah.
Is the wort.
Yeah. Well, it looks like it's, I looked at it earlier and took a picture of it, which will be on the website, and it looks like it's holding up quite nice. Smells good.
It does smell good.
So,
you get used to that smell. The first time brew, I don't think you enjoy the smell.
Yeah, and the neighbors surprising, they probably wonder what's going on.
And Dick has opened the second bottle, which I believe is the 8%.
Yep, the 8%, and this is the Chimay Ale. What was it called? Oh, it's the triple.
Triple. And why is it a triple?
It is, I believe it's because of the fermentation process.
Is it like a
It's like doubles. Right, like doubles, and then there's a triple. It's I think it's the number of times that it's fermented.
Wow.
And this says that it's 8%, named Cinq-Cents, five cents, basically. Who knows what that means? It's a hazy appearance, fine head, which, of course, all of the Belgians have that. And it says, this beer's flavor is sensed in the mouth, comes from the smell of hops. Above all, it's fruity notes of muscat and raisins that give this beer a particularly attractive aroma.
Raisins, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny.
We have wild blackberries back in the woods there.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about running out and getting some, putting them in this beer batch, but I didn't.
Oh, in this one you're doing now?
Yeah. I thought that'd be kind of fun to throw some wild blackberries on the bottom of the bucket.
Yeah. I know you did that lambic over the holidays.
Yeah, that was using the syrup.
The framboise, the raspberry?
Yeah.
Yeah, that came out good.
My last batch was a...
Thanks,
sir.
Yeah, this is
my last batch was a Belgian wit beer, and I'm very happy with the way that came
out. Oh yeah, it was very good. Now this has got This has got about 2-3 times the head that the other. Mm-hmm.
Very foamy. A little more cloudy,
yep. I would say. Definitely cloudier. A little darker.
Darker, really? I think it's kind of a little pale, more pale.
You think
so? Do you think it says red?
Well, you know what? You had better light. It could be either way.
It's definitely cloudier, and it's got a thicker head.
But this is one of those things that I would definitely recommend that if you haven't had Chimay, do what we're doing. Take the trip. Buy 3 of the bottles. They are fairly reasonably priced if you don't go to a restaurant in Tennessee.
Stay out of the clubs.
Yeah. In Tennessee, we are hampered with a sin tax. So this bottle that we have here, each of these bottles costs about $3.50. If you bought it at a restaurant, you'd pay at least $6. I made the mistake of buying one of the larger 24-ounce beers, and I ended up paying $18. And to date, the most expensive bottle of beer I've ever purchased. Didn't regret it, though. It's a good beer, and I would definitely do the trip.
Now, I spent $9 on the Frambois, but that was worth it.
Yeah.
It was the last one they had. Mm-hmm. It was very dark red. It was delicious.
Yeah. Now, this, I just got my first taste of it. It definitely has a different flavor, deeper.
You can tell it's stronger.
Yeah, stronger. You can tell the alcohol, even though it's only 1% more. It's definitely a stronger. And this is what I was talking about, a Grand Cru beer. This is kind of that
no, explain
aftertaste.
That to me, because I don't know what it
well,
is.
Well, I'd like to sound real intelligent and make up something, but nothing springs to mind. I'm not really sure what it is. I think it has to do with the, and I know this because the bartender was serving it to him and says, oh, you have to try this. It's a Grand Cru. And he looked at me, and I nodded knowingly and said, mm-hmm. Sure, of course, a Grand Cru.
So, it sounds nice.
It does sound nice. So,
it also sounds like a Louisiana cruise.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Like the floats on Mardi Gras, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, exactly.
But what I noticed is it had like this deeper aftertaste.
It's time for my finishing hops.
Okay.
I'm going to take a break and add finishing hops to my the batch of Hefeweizen.
Now you got to stir that for a while? Okay. All right. So we will do the finishing hops, and then we'll start on our third beer and see how it goes.
Call everybody over the house tonight. We're gonna get real loose. We're gonna get real tight. Tell your Aunt Lucy to get busy in the kitchen. Make up a whole mess for that good fried chicken. Move the old couch over and roll back the rug. Wake up Uncle Henry. Tell him to bring his jug. Wine, beer, bourbon, gin. Everybody ready for a night of sin. We're gonna dance around, baby, we're gonna do it right.
We're gonna have a party
at the house tonight. A wolf got a little loose and got into a fight. And Lucy chased Frank all around the kitchen. He made a great big mess, ate up all of the chicken. With a bottle in hand, a wallet cut a rug. Passed the wine off to Mooney, who started playing the jug. I met a big fine mama
from a chicken shack. She was round in front, and she was round in back. Hugging, kissing, squeezing tight. I'm getting ready for loving all night. She said,
there's no need to turn out the light.
We're gonna have a party tonight.
Hollywood Combo. We're going to have a party tonight.
We're talking about the ribs and rubs. I've got on my list, because I'm planning on cooking my ribs Monday.
If I cook them, well, all right, I need to decide, I think.
You need to thaw them now. You need to thaw them now. And what I did this last time, and they came out great, was thawed them the day before, put rub all over them, wrap them up in plastic, put them in the refrigerator. 24 hours if you can get it, if not, at least overnight. And it came out great. Did you buy some rub? Or
no, I'm just going to look it up in the book.
Okay. You got just all kinds of spices laying about?
I probably don't have.
Well, we may have to go over to the test kitchen of BigFummyHead.com, where I've got all of the spices there to make plenty of rub. And
I do have a grilling cookbook that I was going to try out. So.
Oh, so you got to, yeah. But you're going to cook them tomorrow.
Thinking about it.
Well, you have to start the day before.
I need to figure out.
Day before would be right now. Therein lies the dilemma.
Yeah. Do I thaw out my ribs and make the rub tonight and then get my smoker running tomorrow for a nice rib dinner tomorrow evening?
Yeah.
Or do I wait for the 4th of July?
Well,
I guess it depends on what fireworks show I go to, and et cetera.
Yeah. So. Well, my schedule is I made my rub last night. I did a test cook on some little pieces of meat and chicken with my rub because I was kind of uncertain on how it was going to come out. It came out great. A lot of heat in it. And then tonight I got my shoulders. My butts. I keep calling them shoulders. I got my two Boston butts, 7 pounds a piece. Put the rub on them, wrapped them up in plastic wrap, stuck them back in the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, probably about 6 o'clock, I'm going to put them on the smoker, and I'm going to cook those throughout the night at a pretty low heat. So they will be falling apart by the time.
Now you're putting ribs on tomorrow night?
No, no, I'm putting my shoulders on.
Shoulders on. Okay.
I'm going to do my ribs Monday.
What's
so,
that?
Was it what?
Is
the red one the one we're looking at? It's about 90 degrees.
Okay.
Is the bottom line 80?
Well, yeah, but I'm not sure that the water temperature is going to be cool enough to chill this down.
Yeah. You're on. Because we're running hot water. Take another piece of that.
Pin close.
Yeah, you're
I'll
almost
another
there.
5 minutes.
You're almost there.
I'll like another 5 minutes.
Yeah. So, the ribs, I was able to thaw them out real quick, and there's the riblets that I made tonight, just for point of reference, did not wrap them, didn't do anything to them. Any kind of 24-hour or long time period. I got my riblets, I opened them up, I put my rub on, and I wrapped them up and stuck them in the refrigerator for maybe an hour, if that. They were great. And I did something interesting with them. And I documented all this, and this will be on show number 2 or 3. I put mustard on half of them.
Oh.
And I used the mustard as a kind of a base coat. And then I put the rub on top of that. They did not taste like mustard.
See, my mom makes this great prime rib, and she makes a paste out of rock salt and mustard.
Yeah.
And she coats the entire prime rib with that, and she cooks it.
and you crack the shell off after it's cooked. Oh, man. That's
really? Okay, now see, I think I that's the same reason. What I did the mustard to kind of seal the meat, keep the juice in, right?
Yeah.
Well, they ended up, and the rub that I make has some sugar, so it caramelizes anyway. And I also use kosher salt. So it's a coarse salt, like it sounds like your mom used. And, it's good stuff. So
that'll actually form a shell on the meat, and it'll make its own little oven inside there. So.
I went probably a little lighter on the mustard and salt, but it did not make a shell, but, gosh, it came out great. So you can't go wrong, you know, if you mix your rub up. And worst case, you know, we're in Memphis, there's a million rubs sitting there on the grocery shelf.
Yeah,
can't go wrong.
Corky's, you know.
Corky's, Rendezvous, they're all different.
I think you're boiling.
I think I'm boiling.
You ready to boil?
Okay, well, I'm going to pause for a minute and get the beers on.
I'm trying.
Okay. During the pause, which we may or may not have added music in between, who knows? This is cutting edge podcasting at its finest. We're about three beers into it and are going, or more, gosh, I lost count. We're going for our third and final Chimay of the evening. And let me give you the gory details of my my beer making. The water successfully boiled, which that was an achievement right there. That was the hardest part, getting the water boil. I managed to open the cans. I dumped them into the fermentation bucket. I added the water, and then I topped it up with cold water, and I stirred repeatedly, and now it's beer. So I put the lid on, and when I go home, I will add yeast, which I conveniently forgot.
Don't forget.
And here we're doing our last beer, and this is the Chimay Blue.
Chimay Blue, which is the Cadillac of beers.
Yes, sir.
As far as I understand.
It's a 10%er. No. Is it? Yeah, 10%, right?
7.89, 9%
alcohol. It is a much darker.
Yes, it
almost
is.
Near opaque. I'm holding it up to the light now, and I'm starting to get a little
cheers.
Seafood. Cheers. And we're going to see what we got here.
That less of the foamy. The red was definitely more fizzy.
I'm not seeing the effervescence, right? This has got almost like a little stout, porterish sort of
this is very
taste. Very good. Very good. That's good.
A couple of these for an evening, I think.
Yeah.
If you drank too many, you'd probably be hammered. But.
Yeah, you would. And I was referring to that on an earlier future show. That you got to be careful with these 9%ers. The Fin du Monde that I was drinking earlier. They go down like Bud Light, and except they're 9% alcohol. And the next thing you know, you're making love to the floor. So anyway, yeah, this is a right tasty beverage here, and we
highly recommend it. Go out and buy yourself some.
Absolutely. So we got our beer, two batches of beer brewing.
Yeah,
and
let me give you an update on mine. The wort chiller did its thing, so I moved the wort from the stainless steel pot that I was brewing it in. I used a spigot on the bottom to aerate the wort and put it into my primary fermentation bucket, which we all know is a big pickle bucket, 6-gallon pickle bucket. And put the secondary, added the yeast. And put the secondary airlock on it.
Right. And you managed to get it down to 80 degrees within
15-20 minutes.
Oh, that little time. Okay.
Yes.
And you had to wrestle with your smack pack of yeast.
And this is a special type of, it's a smack pack of yeast. It's the first time I've used that. Mm-hmm. I usually use the tubes of yeast.
Yeah, the little liquid milky looking ones. Yeah.
This is one that is geared towards making a Hefeweizen. It's called West Steffen or something. I don't know the exact name. But the yeast was manufactured on the 9th of June, and we're at July 2nd, so it should be nice.
Very
nice
fresh
and
yeast.
I should have 100 billion yeast cells currently working away, changing simple sugars to alcohol.
And these guys will be boiling violently away by tomorrow. Sometime,
yeah, I understand probably. It's a very active yeast, and I have to watch for overflows and blowouts and blowovers and all that good stuff.
Yeah, that's usually that happens when you're cooking. It's a whole different thing to have it do it behind your back while it's sitting there.
Yeah.
So now you're going to store this. Where are you going to put this to keep it cool enough?
Okay, from Homebrew Heaven, I went ahead and bought the Ranco, R-A-N-C-O, temperature regulator, and I hooked up a 5-cubic-foot freezer with the Ranco temperature controller, and it should keep the temperatures, right now in Memphis, about 91 degrees, it's going to keep the temperature of the beer 65 degrees, plus or minus 2 degrees.
That's great.
So
that's great. Now
perfect
mine,
fermentation temperature.
I read on mine, and I thought this was a little high.
It said keep it between 65 to 70 or 75 degrees, which I've got a room that luckily stays at 65 degrees. And I checked it before I came over here.
Did you?
I'm at 66. Oh, it's gone up a whole degree. So
he's got a whole room.
Yeah. And I've tried to figure out why did the builders decide to put heat and air in that one room.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I mean, nobody's going to spend time down there. It's where the Christmas trees live. But whatever, you know, I'm not going to question it. Glad I got it.
It's got the perfect room for fermenting beer.
Yep. So. And these days it's a good room for sitting in, just to get out of the heat.
Yeah.
So.
And it's connected to his garage, so as he's working on his ribs and
the whole
other smoked meats, he can run in and cool off.
So you need to take a look at some of the things I've put on the site already with no audio, but a lot of written commentary. I've been, it's kind of, I guess, sacrilegious that a site about barbecue, the first thing I cooked was a piece of beef, but I'm sure somebody will come after me for that. But I had this eye of round, and my wife bought some turkey legs because she knew I was going to be smoking something. So I ended up making a completely non-pork meal.
Okay.
And it came out great, and it was dirt cheap. I fed the family for 2.5 to 3 days for $11. So that was
that is
pretty
cheap.
Good.
Yeah.
That was cheap, and the turkey legs were just fantastic. They were fair-like in quality.
Well, I'm looking forward to smoking a turkey.
Yeah.
That'll probably be a real early adventure in smoking.
And I've not done that yet. That's one of the few animals that I haven't stuffed into my smoker yet. But I'm going to get something. I noticed there's some armadillos on the road, so you never know. But I guess that's it. We should probably call this a first show. And hopefully you can hear us over all the frogs and the crickets and the little yappy dog in the house. And thanks for listening.
All artists featured on today's show were from Download.com. Visit BigFoamyHead.com for more information.